Media, are we ready? Before we get into today's message, and I'm not sure I'm even going to have time to do that, but I wanted to share with you this morning on somewhat of a personal level. It's been a very interesting week for me, as in the 10 years that I've pastored this church, I have never received as much feedback regarding any sermon that I've ever preached from this pulpit as I did from last week's message. And I appreciate that you're here again today, because that tells me you're not mad at me, and that's a good feeling. But I found it of great interest that there were equally as many accolades as there were, as it were, accusations. I think you must know that we preachers are just human creatures. We put on our pants the same way that you do. And while any preacher worth his salt always wants to hit it out of the park, and by that I mean the message lands well, we don't strike out, people don't say, I'm never going back to that church again. But it's also important to me that you know that when I stand behind this sacred desk, my focus is not to hit home runs in order to garner the applause of people, but my focus is to be faithful to God, to be faithful to His Word, and to preach first to the audience of one. Secondly, to myself, and then to the people of God that He's entrusted to me. Like the Apostle Paul, we make it our goal in life to please Him. And if you've been in any kind of leadership position ever, whether behind a pulpit, in the workplace, in the marketplace, wherever, you will know that as a leader, if you're going to make it your goal to be pleasing to the Lord, there is a guarantee that you will not always be able to please people. Study the Old Testament prophets. Rarely did they please people. And when at times I feel, as I did last Sunday, ooh, I think I may have offended some people, when I think of what the Old Testament prophets had to endure, like Ezekiel and Jeremiah, who were persecuted, imprisoned, people wanted to kill them, stone them, and God on top of it says, don't you dare be concerned about their faces. You be faithful to what I've called you to say and to speak. Think about the New Testament apostles. They were bold and courageous in the proclamation of God's word. And of course, Jesus, the Son of God, who is absolutely perfect in every way, who every time He opened His mouth was at odds with the religious hierarchy. All of that to say, I do not fear stepping on anyone's toes when I speak the truth, because the truth of God's word stands for all of time. It is never, ever to be compromised, never to be whitewashed, and never to be diminished by some feeling that society places upon us that we must, even behind the pulpit, be politically correct. Because by all means, we do not want to offend anyone. However, having said all that, I will tell you that I did a lot of soul searching after delivering last Sunday's message. And I want to say that I do recognize that in my zeal and in my passion to awaken the Church of Jesus Christ, in the things that I shared, I fear that in so doing, perhaps, I've communicated some level of insensitivity to those who are hurting. And for that this morning, I want to say that I sincerely and humbly apologize to you because it was never my intention to hurt or offend you. And so when I spoke about defunding the police, those comments were in no way, shape, or form intended in any way to ignore the injustices of racism that exist in America. And I know that when I spoke on this, I failed to acknowledge the hurt and the pain that have come to my black brothers and sisters who've been subjected to such heinous treatment, for which there is no excuse and for which deserves censure. Not necessarily defunding the police, because if you know Javier, is he an evil man? He's one of the best, most righteous, loving, kind men I know, and I'm proud to call him a deacon in this church, even though he is also a police officer, and to brand them all as evil is wrong, wrong, wrong. To say we want to defund the police and not have authority in our government is wrong, 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 because that is also against the Word of God. So I apologize if I offended those of you who felt I was not understanding or sympathetic to the evils of racism that have brought great hurt to your souls. I also spoke against the evils of abortion, and I apologize because it was never my intention to bring guilt or condemnation to those who have had abortions, or perhaps those in their families who have had abortions. I know those are very painful, deeply painful experiences, and only God, by His grace, can bring healing. And when they are spoken of flippantly and in a harsh way, even though I don't feel I was doing that, I was passionate about it, and I'll explain that in a moment. But I also spoke against the LGBTQ agenda, and that also was in no way to belittle or to shame those who feel that is their orientation and want to live in such a lifestyle, nor was it to hurt those who have family members who are deeply grieved over the lifestyles that have been chosen, feeling like as Christians they are condemned and they are judged. God's word condemns their sin, but never condemns their hearts, because Jesus died for them. And we as Christians have a way of categorizing sin. But sin is sin in God's sight. And who of us is without sin? Let him cast the first stone. So we have love and compassion and mercy for one another. But why I was so passionate in my message last Sunday, my focus was solely to expose the trajectory of our nation, which has been on this slippery slope ever since we took prayer and Bible reading out of our schools. The reality of it, I fear we've become numb to it, and we just accept what is. None of us stop and consider, as a Christian, should I have anything to say about it? Or if the thought comes to mind, we're immediately stopped because we know it's not politically correct to speak against Black Lives Matter. And of course, Black Lives Matter. We as believers do not see one another by the color of our skin. We know no man after the flesh, because we are all on level ground at the foot of the cross. We've all been saved by His grace. No one has superiority over another. We are all equally sinners saved by grace. But to embrace Black Lives Matter movement, which is a Marxist communist movement that does not truly care about black lives, but cares about promoting an ungodly godly agenda to bring disunity and destruction to this nation, as has been seen in the rioting that is taking place in our cities. That is what I was so passionate to speak against. And my fear is that Christians are asleep. My fear is that Christians have become apathetic. My fear is that Christians have lost their boldness in speaking for what is true and right according to God's word. We're oblivious to the danger and the position that we're in because of the trajectory of our nation that has taken the posture of legitimizing and legalizing sin. Let's call it what it is. Today's world wants to legitimize and legalize what God calls sin. And then it's rationalized away by saying, well, they can't help it. Oh, that's because, and we make up all kinds of excuses, and we become politically correct instead of standing for the truth of God's word. But I believe that as we awaken to our responsibility as kingdom Christians, our responsibility to stand with God, not to ride on the back of the Republicans or the Democrats. And if you're listening to the messages that I've been encouraging you to listen to by Dr. Tony Evans on kingdom voting, he is promoting this wonderful kingdom philosophy that as kingdom people, we should identify with being kingdom independents. We align with what is right. What is right with the Democratic Party? What is right in the Republican Party? Because we only care about the righteousness of God being established, being promoted, being advanced in these United States of America. And then as believers, we embrace our responsibility, our civic duty to vote according to godly principles so that America could be all that God has called us to be. So as we awaken to those realities, that as believers, God has called us to be lights in an ever-darkening world, that as we commit to passionately stand in the gap and earnestly pray for our nation, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. This is not a Christian Democrats against Christian Republicans. We need to recognize that there is a spiritual battle that is taking place in the heavenlies, and part of that battle is to pit one believer against another believer so that the enemy can win the battle. We need to stand as one in Jesus Christ. Whose side are you on? The captain of the Lord of hosts said to Joshua. Or I should say, Joshua posed that question. And the captain of the Lord of hosts said, I'm not on that side, and I'm not on that side. I've come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Whose side are you on, Joshua? And we all need to answer that question. And until we answer that question and identify as being on the Lord's side, we will never fulfill our calling as kingdom Christians, and the church will never be able to fulfill its destiny. Do you know why God has the church in the world? Because we are the light, because we are the salt that is to delay the corruption that is trying to explode. But if the church becomes the church, we will be able to stay that corruption. And as the church has been praying earnestly, I believe God has been hearing and answering those prayers. With the recent appointment and nomination of a third conservative justice in this administration indicates to me that God is moving to remove the scourge of abortion in this nation. I was listening to one prophet who was speaking about a dream that he had. When he looked in the mirror, he saw the face of President Trump. And when President Trump looked in that mirror, he saw the face Abraham Lincoln. And God spoke to the prophet in that dream and said, as I have raised up Abraham Lincoln to end the scourge of slavery in the United States of America, I have raised up President Donald Trump to end the scourge of abortion in the United States of America. And as believers, if I in a moment, and I wrestle with this and I say to myself, do I need to actually feel intimidated about saying that we should support life, which is clearly in God's word? Should I feel that people are going to become offended with me that I say we need to support a platform that will end the evil of abortion, that will not only incur the wrath of God upon America because the blood of 62 million babies are crying out from the ground, and this must end once and for all. And with that third justice on the Supreme Court, I believe that once and for all, abortion will end and will stay the hand of the devourer, because as we've been lifting these babies to the God of Moloch, to the God of Baal, he has been having his way and has been bringing curses upon the earth. I'm not hearing a lot of amens, but I believe with all of my heart that you and I as kingdom people, I'm not telling you how to vote. I'm telling you, seek the face of the Lord and vote according to biblical principles. And that brings me to this last thing that I want to say. I don't know how many of you were tuned in yesterday to the events in Washington, D.C. And Jack's going to throw up a few pictures. One was the return, and simultaneous with that was Franklin Graham, who led a march. I believe it was from the Capitol building to the Lincoln Memorial. But they spent several hours, just as they walked, they prayed, asking God to forgive America, asking God to restore America. Jack, just run those slides so those who were not viewing any of this that was taking place yesterday can see. Go to the next slide. There were an estimated 100,000 believers. And God only knows how many were watching by website. This was being watched all over the world. I have to tell you, usually I am just sequestered in my study all day long on Saturday. And my wife will tell you, I had to keep coming back to see what was happening on this momentous, historic day where the people of God were gathered. And that return event was for 12 hours, where thousands of people joined in prayer and intercession, and speakers were crying out to God. There was one segment, of course, it's archived, so you could go onto YouTube and look up the return 2020, and watch as little or as much of it as you'd like. But there was one segment that is still reverberating in my spirit, and it goes along the lines of what Julie was speaking to us about, that God wants to do something special in America. And I want our media people, if they'd be so kind as to play that video for us. Is there an usher back there to turn the lights off? And just let's listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking through this brother, and join with agreeing what the heart of God is for the United States.
By the authority of the Holy Ghost, we take dominion today over the powers of darkness that have ruled over our nation, and we command them to be broken in the name of Jesus. For this is the hour of the church, says the Lord, and not the hour of man. And by the end of this year, says God, the greatest outpouring that you've ever seen is going to hit the United States of America. Starting January 20 in this year, hallelujah, God is going to begin to declare that there is a release of an unprecedented move of the Holy Ghost like we've never seen in our lifetime. Thus saith God, I'm coming after the strongholds that have ruled over this nation for decades, and I am pulling them down by the power of the Spirit of God. For the violence that you see in the land and the roaring that you hear over our nation is demon spirits that are crying out because the angels of the Lord have come to silence them for this hour. And just as the world has put a mask on the church, and just as the world has put a muzzle on the people of God, the spirit of intimidation that has risen against the church, I, the Lord thy God, now I'm going to take that spirit and I'm going to put it on the world and the heavens that have been brass, says the Lord. I'm breaking by the power of the Holy Ghost. For 4 years, saith God, for 2021 through 2024, this is the last final harvest, saith God, that is going to hit this church. No demon will be able to stop the glory of the Lord that's coming. Get ready, says the Lord, for the holiness of God is coming up in this hour, and I, the Lord thy God, will take no backseat to a man. For what I'm getting ready to do, says the Lord, will not be known by personality or name, but it will be known by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pull down strongholds over this nation. Sports will not recover, though they say they will. Theaters are going to remain empty, saith God. And the church is going to begin to fill up. And the glitter of sin that has drawn the sinner to the world is now going to be tarnished. And I'm going to cause the church, saith the Lord, to rise to her feet. There is a roar of the line of Judah, saith God. I'm going to release divine healing upon the nation. I am also coming after a generation of young people that have never been in church, never known God. I'm going to invade the homosexual community, and I'm going to set them free by the power of the Holy Ghost. There is anointing, saith the Lord, that I am releasing over this nation. Just as the laws have come out of this city in the natural, saith God, so now is there a law being released out of heaven that says my church will not be silent, for though I am raising up, hallelujah, mighty men, for the spirit of Jezebel has ruled over this nation for a century, but I have raised up an Elijah anointing, saith God, that's going to break the spirit of Jezebel, and there's going to be peace in the land. There's going to be silence amongst the liberals, saith the Lord, and I'm going to put a roar in the mouth of my people, even to the age of young 5 and 6 year olds. The glory of God is getting ready to come down upon this nation. Give a shout, saith the Lord, for I have not forgotten thee. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. In 1906, William Seymour said this: there is another revival coming up about 100 years, and if the bloodline is going to cross the color line. Hear God today. This is not about color. This is not about culture. This is about the church. And God said the church is my body. So today I release healing into you. I release a spirit of boldness upon you. Come against the spirit. Rise up, saith God. Whatever you bind, I bind. Whatever you loose, I loose. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is a liberty, saith the Lord, I am releasing over this land, and it is a harvest of souls. Your churches are going to fill up. Your children are going to praise the Lord. Your bodies are going to be healed, because I declare it, saith God, and it shall. saith God.
Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Let's cry out to God together this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking through your prophet. Thank you for the word of the Lord. We declare that over our lives. We declare that over our church. We declare that over America today. We thank you, Lord, that you said in your word that in the last days you will pour out your spirit upon all flesh. And we say, God, begin it in me. Begin it here. Begin it now as we open up our hearts to you, as we turn to you with all of our hearts, as we repent of our wicked ways, as we forsake the evil of our lives, Lord, and turn to you and love you with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, as we make a place for you, as we expand the capacity of our heart to allow you to come in. We say, Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, fill us to overflowing today. Fill us to overflowing today. Baptize us afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we hunger. Let us increase the hunger of our heart today. Increase the thirsting of our soul today. Increase our passion to pursue you. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, let us be changed and transformed today by the word of the Lord that we have heard, that in and through our lives we would live as kingdom Christians. We would advance your kingdom, and our lives would be consumed with one passion and one passion alone, for the honor, the glory, and the praise of King Jesus forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah.